will be brought to us by a local deacon here serving here in the Phoenix congregation, Mr. Robert Nettles. Well, happy Sabbath, brethren. Hopefully everybody here had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know we did. A little unusual, I might say, but I won't bore you with the story. Janet and Alexander Tosco were both born, in 1919 and met when they were just 8 years old and fell in love immediately. The couple married in 1940 and moved to San Diego in 1970. The couple couldn't bear the thought of being apart for any length of time and said they hoped to one day die in their own bed, holding hands or with their arms wrapped around each other. Their hearts beat as one. From as long as I can remember, their daughter, Amy Tosco Cushman, said. Until recently, Alexander, 95, was healthy and playing golf every day, their son Richard Tosco told the news station. He must have fallen, broken his hip, Tosco said. He told KGTV that his father never fully recovered and his health began fading quickly. Unwilling to keep their parents apart, they had hospice bring Alexander's bed into the couple's home and placed it beside his wife. On June 17th of this year, Alexander passed away. He died in her arms, which is exactly what he wanted, Amy Tosco Cushman told KGTV. I went in there and told my mother he was gone. She hugged him and said, "See, this is what you wanted. You died in my arms. I love you. I love you. Wait for me. I'll be there soon." Within 24 hours, Jeanette passed away. Wow. That is sheer devotion, sheer devotion to one another. The thought of not being able to live without the other. Some of you may have heard a recent news story. For those that follow football, Doug Flutie, who was a quarterback for several different teams, his father was admitted to the hospital. He was having a heart attack, and he recently passed away. This was just this last week or two. Within 1 hour, his mother died of a heart attack as well. It's incredible. We sometimes hear these stories. Well, today's message isn't about marriage. It isn't about that kind of marriage or relationship that we have with each other. In a way, it might be. Today's message isn't meant to be a word study either. But, it's very important to understand the words that we use when we speak. What these words mean. Sometimes the smallest change we make to the way we think and the way we understand things makes a huge difference in the way we respond and the things we do. The title of today's message is Absolute Devotion. Absolute Devotion. Now, exactly what does absolute devotion mean? Many times we confuse commitment, the word commitment, with devotion. Two words, though they're similar, they're completely different. They're completely different. And we'll see that as we get into the message today. So exactly what is absolute devotion? Well, you can look at it this way. Complete surrender of oneself. Completely surrendering who you are to another or to a cause. Absolute devotion. Now, again, don't confuse this with commitment. Commitment is a completely different word altogether. Today, just to kind of highlight the point that's going to be made here today, so we truly understand what's being said, I'm going to read, and I'll read this from my notes. It's going to be the same scripture read out of five different translations of the Bible. And we're going to see how different the Bible or some of the translations actually interprets specific words. 1 Corinthians 7:35, and the first version I'm going to be reading out of is the ESV, English Standard Version. Verse 35, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Next translation is the NIV. In the same scripture, verse 35, I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Pretty much on track right there. You know, I mean, from reading those two interpretations or those two versions of the Bible, we're pretty much on track. Now, from the Amplified Bible, and again, this is verse 35, now I say this for your own welfare and profit, not to put a halter restraint upon you, but to promote what is seemly and in good order to secure your undistracted and undivided devotion to the Lord. Changes it up a little bit. Common English Version, verse 35, 1 Corinthians 7. I am saying this for your own advantage, not to restrict you, but rather to promote effective and consistent service to the Lord without distraction. Wait a minute. Said something a little different there. In the King James Version, 1 Corinthians 7:35, and I speak this for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Well, one says undivided devotion. In fact, actually three of them say undivided devotion. One of them says consistent without distraction. The other says without distraction. Point that's being made here is we've got to really be careful when we hear words, when we read words out of the Bible. Does this mean the Bible's wrong? No, not at all. The man or the person who interpreted these words, interpreted from his own perspective and from his own understanding. Are they wrong? Not necessarily. We'll see that in a moment. Without turning this into a word study, let's take a quick look at some definitions. And I'm just going to show another example. We oftentimes, I know I am extremely guilty of it, when you say the word committed, that's the most committed thing I can do. I'm committed to that. Well, when you talk about committed versus devotion, there's a big, big difference. We're going to see that here in a moment. So we're going to look at some definitions. I'm just going to reference a couple of references. The New Oxford American Thesaurus, and this is the word devotion. Loyalty, faithfulness, fidelity, constancy, commit, and I want you to remember that. Commitment is part of the definition or is part of devotion. So we want to remember that if we're committed to something, we're only partway there. Adherence, allegiance, dedication, fondness. Another one of the words that's mentioned in the definition, love. I'm going to move on now. This is the New Oxford American Dictionary. And this is the definition of devotion again. Love is the first word that is mentioned here. Love. So you can look this up for yourself. The New Oxford American Dictionary, the word devotion, the first word is love. Loyalty or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or a cause. Dropping down now to another source, this is dictionary.com for the word devotion. One of the things that struck me, religious zeal or religious observance. Dropping down, the original what it came from, where this word came from, was the Latin for devotion, em, devotionem. A noun of action from past participle stems of dev, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce this, devovere. But I'll get into that in just a moment. Dedicated by a vow. And this is, again, the word devotion in, out of dictionary.com. Dedicated by a vow. Sacrifice one's self. To promise solemnly or to vow. And then it highlights, see, the word vow. In ancient Latin, and this is where it originally stems from, the word that, makes up or that we know as devotion today, act of consecrating by a vow. So let's move on to the word commitment and see what the differences are. So we're going to take the same sources at this point. The New Oxford American Dictionary. Commitment. The state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. That's similar. A pledge or an undertaking. Dropping down again. The engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. So this is the word commitment. So we're seeing some pretty stark differences in that word. And moving on now to the thesaurus. Responsibility, obligation, duty, task, liability. But it also contains a vow, a promise, or a pledge, or an oath, a contract, a pact, a decision, or a resolution. Point I want to make here is I don't want to be obligated to you, and I hope you don't want to be obligated to me. I remember back, and I'll just digress just for a moment here, when Mr. Elliott first brought me aside and asked me, was talking to me about being a deacon. One of my biggest concerns is I didn't want to turn what I loved, which was serving and doing the things that I enjoyed, into a duty, into an obligation, a commitment. I much rather think of it as a vow. Now, I'm happy to say that that never happened. I still have as much love and as much enthusiasm as I ever did, in fact, probably more so, to serve and to be around the brethren. But that is a concern. I don't think any of us want to be obligated to one another. But I'm not here today to totally trash the word commitment either. Let's turn over today to 2 Corinthians 11. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. And we're going to be looking at the word commitment. Or excuse me, not commitment, but devotion. Because it's the word we need to focus on as God's people. He doesn't just ask us to be devoted to Him. We're expected to be devoted to Him. When we entered into the vow, those of us that have been baptized, had hands laid upon us, we are expected to be totally, absolutely devoted to God the Father. It goes beyond that too. Because we are also to be devoted to Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. We're also to be devoted to one another. If you stop for a moment and think about what Jesus Christ Himself, what was He devoted to? When it came to the sick, was He standoffish? No, He brought them in. He was right around. Everybody was concerned for Jesus' health, His safety, but He was devoted to everyone. He was devoted to the sinners. He was devoted not only to those 12 that were around Him, the disciples, then afterwards the apostles, Who are the apostles? Who are they devoted to? Well, if you consider how many of them were executed. That's real devotion. Now devotion isn't always something that's a good thing either. We can be devoted to something that is absolutely wrong. We can see this in organizations like ISIS, the Taliban. I know to strap some kind of bomb around my waist. I'm telling you right now, I'm not just committed to that. I'm absolutely devoted to it. But is that right? Absolutely not. 2 Corinthians 11, and I'm just going to read verse 3, and this is from the English Standard Version. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a pure devotion, a pure, or if you will, an absolute devotion to Christ. That's what we need to have. We need to have an absolute devotion to God the Father, to the law of God. I'll read this out of my notes. 1 Corinthians 16, and I'm going to read several verses out of here. And this is from the New King James Version. 1 Corinthians 16. I just happened to be there. And beginning in verse 13, watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. To the ministry of the saints. They have devoted themselves. Verse 16, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. So there's many things we can be devoted to. It's not just one certain thing or one certain cause, or we as husbands, we as wives, I hope we're all devoted, absolutely devoted. I know the story that I read earlier about the couple that had been married, and one thing I'd forgotten to mention, 75 years of marriage. That is absolutely astonishing in itself. That's more than twice as long as my wife and I have been married. But the devotion that lasted to the end, that's just absolutely incredible. That's incredible. So I'm hoping the husbands and the wives, some in this room, some listening in on the webcast, may never experience that kind of, if you will, loyalty, devotion, that steadfastness in this lifetime. But we should all have it in one way or another, and that's to God the Father and Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn to a very familiar scripture, Colossians 4. In Colossians 4, and I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Bible. And in the New King James Version, it says, continue. So this is just another example. And Colossians 4, verse 2, in the New King James, it begins, continue earnestly in prayer. But I like it out of the New American Standard Version, because if you go back to the original Latin, it actually does mean devote, to commit, to fully give yourself. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of, and we just celebrated our tradition of thanksgiving, with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourself to this. Praying at the same time for all of us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the ministry of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. This is Paul speaking. That's incredible. That's incredible. To devote. Now, I'm not turning this into a word study, but depending on what translation of the Bible you choose, the word devote, the word commit, the word to dedicate, it depends on what translation you're going to read to get the right word. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you what the right word actually is. But as I did my study, as I did my research on the word devotion, it's a powerful word. It's a powerful word. It's a stronger word than commit or commitment, to obligate. I mean, it just has a negative connotation, don't you think? I mean, to obligate yourself to something. And think about it this way. Devotion comes from here. It comes from us. We devote ourselves to each other. We devote ourselves to our wives, to our husbands, to our friends, to whatever cause, to God's church. All of us are here because we're devoted, not committed. I don't want to be committed to come to Sabbath services. I don't want to be obligated to serve the brethren. I want to have passion for it. I want to love what I do. And as we read the definition, one of the definitions, the first word was love. To devote ourselves. It's a very powerful word. There's a very inspiring story, and there's a lot of inspiring stories of devotion in the Bible. But I think one of the most inspiring is in the book of Ruth. And Mr. Judson, he actually mentioned this. In fact, I'm going to be reading one of the scriptures that he alluded to. He didn't turn there and read it. Now, I'm actually pretending and going to it in my Bible, but I'm going to read it out of my notes because the text is a lot larger. And this is a story of devotion. And we can go to the book of Ruth, Ruth 1. And we don't have to read the whole thing, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. But some of the examples from this whole book, the entire book of Ruth, is a story of devotion. Things that we need to really consider as God's people. So I'm going to begin, excuse me, Ruth 1, and I'm going to begin in verse 11. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my room, in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband." And we're going to drop down. "They lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah," my wife wanted me to make sure I pronounced this properly, "Orpah," too many people pronounce it Oprah, "kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." And in verse 15, and she said, "Look, your sister-in-law was gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you." "Or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people." This is devotion. I mean, she's just turning herself over at this point. "And your God, my God." Now, it wouldn't be written in the Bible if these weren't committed words. Absolute devotion. "Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also. And if anything but death parts you and me." That's an incredible story. That's only part of the book of Ruth. Now, I do want to turn over to Ruth 4, because there's another example. And this actually goes beyond just turning over your own life. Ruth 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And in verse 14, then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be able to be a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. This is where it gets interesting. Actually, this is right around where Mr. Judson was speaking. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they call him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Okay, now obviously the son was still hers, but she gave her child. How devoted would you have to be to do this? How devoted? The devotion, it's not a commitment. This is not an obligation. This is something that came from love, came from desire, came from a want. Now, what about Jesus Christ? What about Jesus Christ? What kind of devotion did he have? We know the book of Ruth. That's only one example of absolute devotion. We can look at numerous examples throughout the Bible. In Hebrews 5, verse 7, and this is from the God's Word translation, during his life on earth, Jesus prayed to God, who could save him from his death. He prayed and pleaded with loud crying and tears. And he was heard because of his, and I've got this from quotation, because of his devotion. I interjected, absolute devotion. How devoted are we? How devoted are we? Are we committed to God? Are we committed to our way of life? Or are we absolutely devoted to the things that God has shared with us, to the eye-opening reality that awaits this whole world? How devoted, how committed. You know, it's easy, I was having a conversation before services, to become complacent, it's just the way it is, you know. That's what I do. Yeah, I'm committed to this. I do this. Well, what about serving? Okay, well, yeah, I got to serve this person. I'm committed to serving this person. I'm obligated to serving this person. As a member of the church, I don't want to think of anyone that way. I want to be happy to serve. I hope we all want to be happy. Devoted. Devoted to service. Devoted to many things. How devoted are we? Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. And similar scripture in Luke 6:27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Verse 28, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Do we do that? Are we devoted to loving our enemies? Christ Jesus was. If he's our example, I think we should be just as devoted and committed as he is. We need to change the way we think. And sometimes it's those subtle changes in the way we think of things. It's not a commitment. It's not an obligation. It's who we should be. It's devotion. It comes from here. It's not a sense of responsibility. It's a sense of, this is who we are. This is who we are. There's a lot of examples where people, they paid Jesus Christ lip service. I'm committed. I'm absolutely. I'm devoted to you. I'm devoted to you. And Luke 9 and verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." That person sounds really, really like they're completely devoted. In verse 59, then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Devotion? And another said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Devotion? Let me go say goodbye to everybody. You know, I got to go do something. You know, I've committed to this. Or devotion? Let's just get out of here. Let's do what you asked me to do. But Jesus said to him in verse 62 of Luke 9, Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We need that absolute devotion. We have to give it all to him. Give it all to him. In Luke 13:24, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Unless we are completely, absolutely devoted to what we understand, to what we believe, to what we've been shown. Now, it comes from study, as we read before. Devoted to prayer. You know, is prayer sometimes an obligation? I'm not using this as a confessional or whatever, but there's times where it's kind of an obligation. I don't want it to be that way. I need to change the way I think about this. It should be my good pleasure to get down and communicate with God the Father. Has to be. It has to be. Now, the book of Psalms, that's really a book that highlights and totally underscores what absolute devotion looks like. What does it look like? What does absolute devotion look like? Psalms 19. That's a great place to start. Psalms 19. It's one of my favorite psalms. One I relate to a lot is Psalms 51, but I truly love Psalms 19. Psalms 19. This really sums it up. I'm going to begin reading in verse 57. Again, I'm reading this from my notes because type's bigger. Psalms 19:57. "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I will keep your word. I entreat your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies." Thought about your ways. I thought about your ways. You know what? I considered this. I meditated on this. And I decided I'm going to completely, absolutely devote myself to you. Verse 60 of Psalms 19, or 119. I apologize if I said 19. Psalms 119. Just happened to hear myself speaking. Verse 60. I don't think there is a verse 60 in Psalms 19, is there? Oops. So verse 60 of Psalms 119. Misspoke. "I made haste. I did not delay." I didn't delay. I didn't waste my time. I didn't procrastinate. I didn't tarry. You know, I was committed. I was devoted. I was in it to win it, to keep your commandments. That's absolute devotion. "The cords of the wicked bound me." The world that we live in. Every day when I go to work, you know, I'm around those of this world. Those of you that go out to the shopping centers and wherever you may be. We are bound by the wicked. "But I have not forgotten your law." You know, I'm not going to be convinced, or I'm not going to be persuaded by someone else, not of God, to betray God's way of life and his law. what we have been shown. That's commitment. That's devotion, absolute devotion. At midnight, I will arise and give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. And in verse 63 of Psalms 119, I am a companion to all who fear you. You know, we're not hanging around with everybody. We're a companion to all who fear you and those who keep your precepts. Those who keep your precepts. This is what absolute devotion is. We use wisdom in those we associate with. We use judgment. Judgment that we get from God the Father. I want to read from one of the church's blogs, and this is actually an older blog from April 2009. It's a blog that I think may still exist. This is the way. This is the way. Though there are many noble and admirable sacrifices people make, there can be none greater than devoting one's life to pleasing our Creator. God commands or demands nothing less than this kind of devotion from those He invites to eternity. That's what's at stake here, eternity. This is our eternal life we're talking about. He commands, He wants it. Romans 12:21, He calls it our reasonable service. I mean, what else can you compare to eternal life? To being with Him, to being with each other in eternity. And considering what He has done for us and what He has promised us, it is our reasonable service. I'd like to read now also from a Beyond Today commentary. And this is kind of excerpts out of Deuteronomy 33:27, which contains a wonderful promise to Israel that certainly applies to the spiritual people of God today and always. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This reminds us that God will be there to catch us when we fall if we devote. We just don't, you know, we're not obligated. We devote our lives to serving Him. To serving Him. And as I begin to wrap up here, Revelation 3 and verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. Verse 16. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The absolutely devoted, the devoted people of God, they're hot. They're hot. We all need to be hot. We need to be full of zeal. That first love. You think about the couple that died in each other's arms. They met at 8 years old. 8 years old. They were married for 75 years. That was a first love. A first love that never wore off. Now, that kind of devotion to each other, truthfully, could be a distraction from being absolutely devoted to God. You know, we got to think of that too. But we need to be devoted to God. And where does devotion begin? Where does it begin? Well, again, as I begin to wrap up, Ecclesiastes 5. Fear God and keep your vows. That's kind of the heading in that area. Fear God and keep your vows. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay for it. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for He has no pleasure in fools. pay what you have vowed. We have vowed to be absolutely devoted to Him, to Jesus Christ, to this way of life, to His laws, to each other. We have vowed to be devoted, not just committed, not obligated. This isn't something that is a burden to us. It shouldn't be a burden. If it is, we really need to ask God to help us correct that. Pay what you have vowed. We have vowed to be absolutely devoted to God the Father, Jesus Christ, and to each other. We are also to be devoted to shining the light that He has put in each one of us. He has given us a light. We are the lights of this world. We need to be devoted to shining that light, to being examples to the world. The world's going to hate us. We're told that. It's not an easy life. We need to be absolutely committed and devoted to living this life. Do we pray without ceasing? Are we devoted to doing this? Are we studying as we should? Do we understand the different versions and the different translations of the Bible? The root meaning and understanding of certain words that can be misunderstood. Sometimes understanding those words makes things a lot clearer to each one of us. Are we devoted to loving our enemies? That's a tough one, isn't it? That's a tough one. You know, I've got a lot of people that probably don't care for me. Wow, it's difficult to pray for them at night. It really is. We've got to do that. We've got to do that. Are we praying for our enemies? Are we praying every day like God tells us to? Praying without ceasing. Are we, in everything we do, are we giving thanks? Are we giving thanks? Are we devoted to giving thanks? We just had Thanksgiving. It was a little disappointing for me because they came around, and there was about 22 people, something like that there. They gave us these cards to write down what you were thankful for. And I thought, all right, you know. So I thought about it, you know, I really considered it a lot. I wrote down my answer and gave them the card. Now, my assumption is those cards hit the trash can today because they never read them. They never read them. I wanted to hear what everyone else was thankful for. You know, I know what I'm thankful for. I really do. I wanted to hear what everyone else was thankful for. Are we devoted, completely devoted, absolutely devoted to growing in humility? Or are we just, you know, I'm this kind of person here, but when I'm in the world, you know, I'm going to just, it's my way. Are we devoted to growing in kindness? Brethren, I've said this before as I've spoke. This is our only chance to do this. This is only our only chance to get it right. When we're done, when hopefully one day my wife doesn't die before me, and we, who knows how it'll all work out, that it's done. It's over with. Pass your papers forward. There's no do-over here. We have to get it right this time. We need to be devoted. We need to take this seriously. We've got to be absolutely devoted, committed, not obligated, to getting this right. We need to surrender ourselves completely to God the Father, to Jesus Christ, and to the law of God. It's not just good enough to be committed. We need to be all in. All in. That's what God expects, what He demands, what He tells us we have to do. We have to be full of zeal, fully and absolutely devoted. Absolutely devoted.